For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. Once again, a new episode. Once again, same old song and dance. Astros lose to the Yankees again. Here to talk about it, my good buddy, Jeff Balke. What's up, buddy?
Rob, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
I mean, good, man.
I've been on night shift. Yeah. I've been on night shift, so this is my first game to watch. And again, it started out well, and you're like, all right, dude, this is going to be it. And the Astros kind of fell apart.
So that middle relief has been a real struggle. And look, I don't know when we have to start talking about the problems of hitting at Minute Maid Park. And I would look, part of me is like, there is that overall discussion about, oh, well, the Astros haven't hit. Other teams hit well at Minute Maid Park. So it's not as if it's some problem with the ballpark, right?
Yeah.
This is a problem with the Astros in the ballpark. And I mean, granted, we're three games into a 162 game season. I don't like to push panic buttons for any, this early in the season. But look, this is something that's been happening for a couple of seasons now. It's not new. I mean, you've got some guys who are hitting okay, but when you can't hit and your middle relief is as bad as it is, these are the results you're going to get.
Yeah, the Astros have actually lost 8 straight games at home. The last time they won was game one of the ALDS last season. So the Astros, they're getting stuff done early.
Yeah.
And then the middle relievers blow the lead.
Right.
But the Astros can't do anything at the end. I mean, they're not even really getting that close.
Well, in fairness, tonight, it wasn't even really the middle relievers. I mean, it was Abreu and Presley. These are the guys you're hoping are going to shut it down in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. I mean, Hader was good again. But, I mean, you look, Parker Mashinsky was good. Montero has been fine. Part of the issue is that obviously Verlander and Urquidy have been out hurt, and so you're pushing some of your normal relievers like Renel Blanco into starting positions. Some of that will help. But look, the Astros clearly swung and missed when it came to Dylan Coleman. I think they thought he was going to be a reliable guy that they could put in there. And he obviously can't find the strike zone. So that's a problem. So they made some missteps. And look, anyone in baseball will tell you that you can never have too much pitching. I mean, you get as many great pitchers as you want. It's never enough, right? And I think the Astros are in a position right now where they're starting to find that out the hard way.
Oh, yeah. So Hunter Brown, I think he had a good day. He threw a lot of pitches. I don't think they're going to stretch people out too far. But four innings, 4 hits, and 1 run. He had 5 strikeouts. In the top of the second, he gave up two of those 4 hits, but they were little soft, dinky hits. They were nothing. And luckily,
no hard contact.
Yeah, no hard contact. He did really good. But the Astros did get on the board in the second inning, and kudos to JP3 for hustling.
Yes.
He hustled and avoided the double play. And then Dubon, who's been money, two-run homer.
I think it was – look, Mauricio Dubon, there's – you know, we've talked – I know there's been a lot of discussion about Chaz McCormick playing, you know, in left and Jake Meyers playing in center. Mauricio Dubon needs to be playing. I mean, that's just the reality. The guy is so consistent in his hitting. He is so good at the plate. And he's a reliable defensive player, particularly in the outfield, but really all over the place. You've got to make room for him to be in the lineup more frequently than not. And he just, especially if you're putting him at the bottom of the order. And look, Jeremy Peña looks good already this year. He's looked good in spring. This is critical to their, you know, as critical as their top four or five guys are. And of course, Yiner moved up into the five spot and they moved Abreu down. I think the bottom of their lineup is equally as critical. Those guys have the potential. If those guys have the ability to get on base, mm-hmm. if you've got guys like Peña and Meyers and Dubon and get on base, well, that just sets up the top of the order coming up next. And I just feel like Dubon is a guy, you've just got to have him in the lineup as much as possible.
So you talk about the middle relievers, and you're right, they did do good today. Magic Man Seth Martinez, he went in and faced the top of the order and comes out unscathed. And in the sixth inning, Parker Mashinsky, he got a strikeout, and then Yordan, first time in left field this season, he made a typical catch, and then for out three, he made a great play.
Yeah, I mean, Yordan is a good outfielder. I think that the Astros are, you know, look, he's had injury problems, and so the Astros are cautious with him for good reason, right? I mean, this is a guy who has had plenty of, you know, time on the IL, and so they're gonna treat him to a degree with kid gloves, and that makes total sense. But he has proven to be a completely capable left fielder, particularly in a building like Minute Maid with a short porch. And the biggest thing is he's got a gun. He probably has the best arm in their outfield. I don't think there's even a question of it. So I think, you know, there's good reason to put him in there. He also believes that he plays better. I mean, he didn't really show that tonight at the plate, but he believes that he plays better when he's in there. And so, you know, I think that's part of what they have to think about.
Yeah, the other reason maybe he was in left field tonight is because they wanted to give Yiner Diaz a break from behind the plate.
Right.
But they wanted his bat in there, so kind of worked out that way. But tonight we did have three firsts. In the fifth inning, Caratini had his first hit as an Astro.
Right.
And then Altuve, what a beautiful bunt down third base. Yordan, a potential double play, but an error, and Caratini scores. So he gets his first hit as an Astro, his first score, and the Astros get their first run of the season after the second inning.
That's such a remarkable thing just to think about. I mean, to get runs after the second inning. I think what's interesting about this Astros team, this has been a team that they've really relied on, I think, two things over the course of this sort of run that they've had. The first thing that they've relied on is they've relied on being more defensively accurate than their opponents. They just don't make a ton of mistakes. Now they made a couple last night, and there have been, you know, here and there, but last year was down year defensively for them. But generally they pride themselves on not making mistakes defensively on the base pass, things like that. The second thing though is they are a team that has always prided themselves on trying to push the starting pitcher out of the game as quickly as possible and then get into that relief core or get the starter into a third time through the order. And that's where they do their damage. So far this year, all their damage has been done early, which is different. The Astros are not typically a fast starting early in the game team. And that's been the case here. They just haven't been able to do anything after that. And look, the Yankees, other than Loaisiga, who's just filthy, they don't have like exactly an incredible bullpen. I mean, they're okay. And with the Astros, you just have to wonder with their bullpen. I mean, look, it's early again with Abreu and Presley and all of that. But I do think, you know, you have to start thinking, where are their legitimate shut? Because look, Hunter Brown did everything he needed to do. Four innings is enough for him right now. You've got to start thinking about where are you going to get those extra innings from guys who can really come in there and shut down other teams, especially when you've got the lead.
Yeah, we talked about the bullpen. Yankees bullpen in this series, zero runs allowed. The Astros have allowed 13.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable. And a lot of left on base. You know, that's actually the left on base thing was something the Astros did a lot last year. And it was something that was anathema to who they are, because they were typically a team that once a guy was on base, they would get them in. I still think this is going to be a very good team offensively. It's weird how I've never understood this in baseball. It happens in all sports, really, basketball, baseball, whatever, where you have a whole team that suddenly goes cold in one. And you see it sometimes in baseball where all of a sudden, like, nobody can hit. And you see that in basketball sometimes where all of a sudden nobody can shoot. I don't understand how that happens, some kind of weird mojo, but it certainly has happened to the Astros in the first few games.
Tonight, the Astros were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They left 5 on base.
You can't do that. It's just like the other night, you know, they walked 9. You can't walk 9 guys in a game and expect to win very many. You can't go 1-for-9 with, and expect to win when you've got runners on base. I mean, it's just not, you just can't do it.
All right. So, yesterday's show, I was talking about the, anticipation of the return of Brian Abreu, who gives up 2 home runs and he blows the lead in his debut. He walked the first hitter and gave up a home run, and just like that, it was tied.
You just can't. This is one of those things that, you know, the Astros, they've been a team that a habitual team for the last 7 years, and part of those habits have included things like staying in the strike zone. Right. I mean, that's important to them as pitchers. You know, trust your stuff, trust your defense. Don't walk guys. They've already walked a bunch of guys already this year. When you walk guys and then you make a mistake in the zone, which Brian Abreu clearly did, it's going to cost you. Solo home runs are fine. You can give up a solo home run. You would expect if a guy gives up a solo home run, or even a reliever, okay, fine. You give up a run. That's fine. You can make that up offensively. But you can't give up more than solo home runs. And Abreu, he made a mistake, a couple of mistakes in this game. I mean, he's right in there after 2, you know, game suspension. I've got to believe some of that he's going to come back from. He's had a good spring. It's not like he looked bad this spring. But, yeah, it's concerning, no doubt.
Yeah, he gave up 3 runs tonight. So Presley comes in and pitches the 8th. He gives up a solo home run. Is Presley uncomfortable pitching in the 8th inning? John Smoltz kind of touched on it tonight. They're kind of used to pitching at a certain time. But he also mentioned the thing about spring training games are all in the daytime, and then all of a sudden they got to play at night. But it's the same thing for the Yankees. It's the same thing.
Right.
Like you said, the Astros can't hit at home. Is it the batter's eye? What is it? But the other team's hitting.
Yeah.
The other team's beating us. So it's not the field. It's not the stadium. It's the team.
I think with Presley.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I kind of wonder if maybe he's, you know, look, has he had enough time to adjust to this role? Has he had enough time to adjust? He didn't pitch a boatload in spring training. I mean, this is a guy that's in his upper 30s. You know, you're not going to just roll him out there and pitch him a whole bunch in spring training. So I kind of look at Ryan Presley and think, hey, you know, I'll give him a little bit of time to work his way in to this position. He's a guy that I feel comfortable with. You know, I think, to be honest with you, your second best reliever is Brian Abreu. I mean, it's to me, it's Hader, Abreu, Presley. And, you know, ideally, when I think about this team, I think honestly, maybe your best relief corps is those three guys plus Montero and Blanco. I think Blanco was brilliant during the spring. I think he's going to be very good this year. If you can have all those guys pitching well, then you're good. I just think we've seen some real struggles early, and I don't know. It's so such small sample size. I don't know if we can determine anything from it at this point.
Yeah, not really. Somebody posted something, and I had to save it on my phone here. Mm-hmm. They posted the Astros record and told everybody to calm down. And I'm still not worried about it. It's three losses in a row, but like the thing about watching the Astros play the Yankees today, Juan Soto. What a pickup for these guys. He totally changes that lineup. They move Judge back to the three spot. Soto's an annoyance. He's hard to get out.
Well, he's so critical because he's a hitting machine. It's not just that it's not just a guy that hits for power. He's a guy that hits for average, and he's got a great eye at the plate. He doesn't strike out a ton. He is a prototypical top of the lineup hitter. And when you put a guy like Aaron Judge behind him, who is this danger that's right there, plus Giancarlo Stanton to come after that, you have to pitch to him. You can't pitch around Soto and hope to, get your outs with Judge. It's just not going to work. So yeah, they're dangerous. Honestly, the Astros are like that too. I mean, you can't just pitch around Yordan Alvarez and hope that Kyle Tucker is gonna, the Astros have been strategic about that as well. They just haven't done the hitting. I mean, Soto starting out the season hot, and he's obviously rejuvenated in New York. And so that bodes well for the Yankees for sure.
All right. So in 2023, the Astros started 8-10, 2022, 7-9. Before that, 7-10, 7-10. And in 2019, they reached the World Series. They started out 2-5.
Yeah, they're not a fast starting team. I mean, look, this team is loaded with guys who don't start fast. Alex Bregman is a chronic slow starter. This team just in general is a slow starting team. I don't know why it is. I don't know why they always come out of the gate that way. But, look, 0-3 is 0-3, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason to panic. And I know people, sports fans are going to be sports fans, right? And nobody wants to see them lose. I mean, look, Friday was if the Rockets hadn't won, it was going to be the trifecta of hashtag Houston sports night with U of H going down. And, but I mean, the big thing, I think, when you're talking about the Astros right now, there's no need to panic, but there's no need to like just sit back and be like, that's fine. It's not fine. It's a problem.
Yeah, Steve here says at this rate we'll need to average 10 runs a game. I don't believe that. I don't think the Yankees even scored more than 5. So listen, let's get 6 runs a game, Steve.
I think if the Astros look, the Astros are still going to be one. They were like third in the league last year in runs scored. I think they're going to be back up in that with those kinds of numbers again. Look, and the Yankees are a tough opponent. We can't. I always feel like sometimes we have these discussions as if the teams are playing on an empty field against nobody. Just a jugs machine, like a pitching machine, and that's it. They're playing against a very tough opponent, right? It's not a great draw out of the gate for them, but I do think that it is worth looking and saying, look, Dana Brown has to be thinking about what they can do to bolster the bullpen. He has said it himself. You can never have enough pitching. And the Astros right now are in kind of a weird situation with their pitching. They've got a couple of guys who are out of options, like Brandon Belak. It's awkward. They're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah. So Hader struck out his first two hitters. He struck out the first 5 guys he faced.
Yeah.
Then he got a walk and a ground out. So the Astros lose 5-3. They're 0-3 for the season. This is the first time the Yankees have been 3-0 since 2003. So with that said, it's time to pick the player of the game. Who do you got? Here's the people I'm thinking about.
Yeah, you tell me.
Hunter Brown, Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah,
driving in those 2 runs. Seth Martinez Parker Meschinski for coming in and not allowing runs.
I think I've got to go with Dubon just because he's just so consistent. My wife and I were, we live over on kind of the near northwest side, Oak Forest area. And there are a lot of Honduran places over here because there are a lot of Honduran immigrants that live in our area. And I was wondering, I wonder if Mauricio Dubon comes over to this area to get himself some baleadas on occasion. If he doesn't, he should. But I just find him to be such a consistent player. And he showed it again tonight. I loved what Seth Martinez does. And I do think Seth Martinez is going to be valuable for this bullpen. And Parker Mashinsky certainly did great. But I think you got to go with Dubon, just at least I do, because, again, he comes in and just gives you something off the bench that the Astros haven't really been able to produce in the first couple of games.
Well, my pick is Hunter Brown. Even though he went four innings, he allowed four hits and one run.
Yeah.
But two of those hits were lucky little bloopers.
Agreed.
And he has over over nine strikeouts per nine innings, and he did that again today with five strikeouts and four innings.
Yeah.
I wish he could have went longer. He put us in a position to win the game, just like yesterday, and we didn't win. But, yeah, that's definitely – I mean, Dubon deserves it. Martinez deserves it for going in and facing 1-2-3. And Parker Mashinsky – he was involved in a, you know, kind of like a throwing error yesterday, and he bounced back great.
He sure did.
These four guys are definitely the,
I think, the also
guys
with,
that tried.
With Hunter Brown too, like, he only went four innings, which is fine early in the season, but he's a guy too that's going to have to learn to temper some of his pitching just the way Christian Javier has learned. Like, these are high strikeout guys naturally, but even Justin Verlander, his high strikeout guy, has learned how to temper his pitches because he wants to go deep into games, you know. And ultimately, in many cases, the quality start is going to outweigh the strikeout numbers. You'd rather have a guy go, you know, five, six strong innings under three runs than you would have a guy, you know, go four innings and get six Ks or whatever it is. I mean, I think that Hunter Brown's going to learn that. I really do think Hunter Brown's going to have a good year this year. I think Christian Javier is going to have an outstanding year this year. I thought it from the beginning of spring. So I'm not worried about them. I think this is just kind of a weird confluence of issues to start the season. Some injury issues and some right out of spring training issues mixed in with the Astros' just typically slow start.
Yeah, and also the Yankees are doing what they need to
do. And the Yankees are good. I mean, listen, it's funny. I don't hate the Yankee players. Like, I can't stand the Yankee organization. I've never liked it. But, like, the Yankee players that are on this particular squad, I don't really have that much of a problem with them. They all seem like pretty decent dudes, you know. There are plenty of teams I can really dislike in terms of the types of people they are. The Yankees are not one of them. Nevertheless, it's also important to acknowledge the fact that this is a really good, well-constructed team, particularly offensively. I mean, they're without Gerrit Cole, and they pitched well so far against the Astros. And their lineup, especially their first five, they're as good as anybody in baseball. And so, you know, it's going to be tough to beat them, home or away. It doesn't really matter. The Astros will get plenty of chances against the chumps of the league throughout the course of the season. This is just not one of them.
And maybe they can play some road games soon. All right, JP France on the bump tomorrow. Do the Astros get a win?
Is his wife going to go into labor? Like, that's the big mystery, right? You know, they've been talking about this, how it's like he will pitch, assuming his wife is not in labor. If he doesn't pitch, then it'll be Blanco. So maybe it'll be JP France. I mean, you know,
oh, maybe.
You know, all due respect to him and his wife, I hope they have a lovely, healthy baby. But JP France has looked very good in spring training. The thing about him that I love, and I've loved last year as well, is just his consistent demeanor. He's always been a guy who's never been, he's not spectacular, but he's workmanlike. He goes out there, he gives you hard-fought innings, he doesn't give up a ton of runs. He's just very consistent. He doesn't blow you away with any of his stuff, but he just plays smart. And that's one thing I feel like on the mound, he's a guy that I just kind of trust with the ball because I trust him not to give up like a huge game. I can see him giving up a few runs here and there. It's just expected, but he's not a guy that I see going out and being like, okay, he's out in the fourth inning and they've scored 8 runs.
Yeah. Did you happen to see his glove?
I heard he has a new custom glove. I read about it in the Chronicle, but I haven't seen it. What is it?
I'll have to send you the picture. He's got where the webbing is. It's mm-hmm. 2 eyeballs and a mustache. It is the coolest thing ever.
Listen, if I were a professional baseball player, there is zero chance that I would not have a swag glove. No. I mean, there's no way. Like, you have all the money and resources in the world. I would have the coolest glove you've ever seen in your entire life. Like, my buddy Frank and I still, we play catch on occasion. And he has a custom glove that his brothers got him for, like, Christmas, right? Yeah. And I'm like, of course you. I mean, that's just cool. If I'm a professional baseball player, dude, it would be like my face would be on it or something. I don't know. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, I'll send it to you when we get done. But yeah. with that said, we are finished. Jeff Balke, I appreciate you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I called you late at night.
Yeah, that's
right. You came through for us.
I was literally hanging out with my wife, watching an episode of Alex versus America, the cooking show. It's like just chilling out on a Saturday night after drinking some wine like you do.
All right.
So I was happy to join. I'm always happy to join with you, Rob.
All right. Well, I appreciate it a lot, and it's always fun, and you're one of the best guests ever.
Thank you, sir. So
thanks to everybody out there, and also Jeff Balke, and we'll see you next time on Astros.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.